understanding to be for students. And similarly, you know, I think it helps us reinforce or master the understanding that we think we have, and we may not understand all that well. Because when we try and explain something to somebody else, we realize, oh, it's not so easy to explain it. So yeah, there is some benefits to being in a mixed pot, I guess, but.
But that understanding, you think it should be streamed more?
I think, for me personally.
Sure, no, let's go on.
I found something pretty interesting last night. I was part of a study group, I suppose you'd call it a study group. Started with two people agreeing to sit down to discuss the paper for the day's lecture. And then all of a sudden, somebody came along, and there was a third, and a lot longer, there was a fourth. And when I didn't understand something, because I don't have a physics degree, but then I've been teaching physics for 20 years, my marks have been last year, now this is only 1 year, but my kids had the highest marks in district, even though I didn't have a degree. And at the same time, what I teach is different from what other provinces teach, right? So there's a homogeneous mixture there as well. I found it really good that I felt comfortable enough to be able to ask people in the study group, hey, I didn't understand this particular paragraph. Any thoughts? And the boys, you know, just kicked it around, and I felt good about it. And I thought at the same time, probably it'd be a good idea if it had that structured more. It was spontaneous for us. But if, like, I get, like right now, I feel a little bit, at this particular point in time, I feel a little bit more comfortable with certain individuals than others. And if they were known to me, so it's like I could call them and say, could we get together and discuss this for an hour? And I'm like, yeah, a few beers over, too. Like I sent 3 beer over 2 hours or something like that. So I had a choice this morning. I had a choice. Here's what was in my mind. I had a choice. Would I read this article and have a beer? Or would I sit in some common room somewhere, shoot the breeze about whatever? I would much sooner sit down and drink 3 beer over a physics discussion. To me, that was greater quality time. Right. And I was lucky enough to come across 3 fellows that felt the same way.
So we could do more to facilitate that instruction that or maybe serve beer here.
No.
Put something else out there, and I'll get to your comments in just a sec, but as you're thinking, let me go up there and then come down on this.
Well, I just wanted to put in my hope for, like, I like the wide variety myself. I mean, I have a strong physics background in that math, but even still, I find there's still some things that I don't know, and there's still, from going around talking to people, even people who don't have strong physics background, that I find they still have lots of times little neat things that I would never have even thought of, often because they don't have such a strong physics background. It hasn't already been talked to them all, so they pick it up on their own.
Right.
They got different things out of it, but oh, gee, that's neat. They'd scribble it down somewhere and might even use, right? So, I mean, I like the idea of having a big group.
Yeah, just to comment on the informal study group, I felt the same. I'm comfortable with the physics, but all this stuff is still here, you know, in terms of, you know, like everybody else in here, trying to get the understanding that I need. And but for me, in terms of having a mixed group, for me, being just new to it, I know lots of physics, but I haven't got a focus on how I can express it the best. So I'm sitting in a group, and Wayne might say something like, "Oh, when I'm talking about that, here's what I never thought about that," and it's just, you know, I'm definitely a proponent for the diverse mixture as well. I mean, it's just, I think if anything, perhaps there were a couple times where some of the material was, I know Justin's talk yesterday, which was fantastic for him. I was lost, and I'm comfortable with my physics background, but I didn't have a clue.
Well,
I mean, it's just one of those things. I think that perhaps one of the reasons why some of the people without the physics background are noticing they don't have a physics background, or they feel like it's important when they, like, I'm sitting there confused, not quite frustrated, but confused, where somebody without a physics background might get frustrated because they don't have, they feel like they're lacking something, which is not the case, because it's just...
Sure. And part of it is what we're trying to do with the balance of stimulation and exposure and content versus pedagogy and so forth. And get to that in a sec, but
I guess the thing that I was thinking is I am another person who agrees that the mixture is great because it helps me, you know, talk to people from other places as well as from, you know, how you deal with different things in your classroom. But I wonder if it might not be possible to have sort of a list of background papers available on, you know, the, you know, here's a paper you can read that gets you the fundamental ideas, just a few little things that we do so that when someone puts, you know, a quantum state on the board that you understand maybe the notation, maybe what we do with it. And I mean, that's not something that would just prepare someone to come to Einstein Plus. You put that up on your website and the whole world can look at it. And so, you know, for lack of a better term, a section to your website of, you know, special relativity for dummies and quantum for dummies, or for being non-physically inclined, might be a really good start.
And so there are two points that you raised. I mean, one is this idea that it's ongoing and we should do that, and we certainly are working on that. Probably on the website, the primary sort of thing is that on the website, it's not. When you're working on it, you can't actually notice that you're working on it. But then there's the whole idea of it for you guys, for this program. Would it have been more beneficial for you if you would have had more information that was given to you ahead of time that was enabling you?
If I had this paper, you know, less, more than 24 hours in advance, I probably would have been able to give it more justice.
Okay. That's important.
Yeah, actually that link on your website that said these downloadables for the teachers that are coming to the dinner, or was it an email they got or something like that? Yeah, and you know, so I brought my own copies of those PowerPoints, and I had already read through them when I got here, so when Damien was talking, I remember I wanted to ask him about,
right,
you know, so I think you're already on the right track.
Right. But more
In preparation for that talk, we got together to facilitate this talk. Couldn't there be a really good article you guys explained before that somebody had made that talk and it was quickly put together? So we thought that would be a great idea for everyone in order to have something in order to read. We've got another one for you today in preparation for tomorrow. So next year when we've got the guest speakers lined up, we'll be a little more thorough about what it is we can send out to you, and therefore, you know, be able to go through that last lecture, because I was able to follow a good chunk of that because I read through that paper. It was really neat. I kind of felt, and so we're aware of that tonight. I think that's probably set the background quite strongly next year.
Yeah, some of that, as you say, is systemic, because it is sometimes difficult pinning these guys down, but we can still do a better job. That's important. Now, somebody else? Okay.
We have the only reason I knew about this is because, first of all, our district has got a website, and we call it First Class. And on that First Class, there's a number of forums, one of which is a physics forum. And for lack of a better way to describe this, though, he's coordinator for this website and for the forum, and he said, well, this is a really good, you guys got a good reputation from where I come from because you really treat us well, and they said that it's probably the best conference that you'll ever go to. And I said to myself, well, probably I've learned something from this that I can take back, because I did feel inadequate about teaching modern physics. And when I think that you could improve that, if one of your labs, I think the world of those labs we had the other day, that's perfect. Those LEDs, the different colors and stuff, where you use E's with QV, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use it. And if that was put on our site, the point I'm trying to make is if you use our site as a hub from which you can disseminate the goods.
Right.
And like if that reached our site, when I do it, I'll go home and I'll fix it up so that's easier for the kids to use. And I'll whip it up because we have a shared document sort of idea, right? I put shared documents up that I can, anybody can access.
Right.
So I'd probably put that there. And then, you know, I said, well, this came from Perimeter Institute. I would have never known anything about it. All of a sudden, Perimeter Institute is more concrete than it was before. More than a social statement, it's now, okay, this came from Perimeter Institute, you know.
So that brings up a good point. I mean, we're always talking about improving our website and the content and the form and all that sort of stuff, which obviously we're doing. But and maybe this is already done, and I apologize if it hasn't, but or if it has. But just the sense of from all of you, relevant sites that we could be aware of, that we can mirror, we can tap into, we can swap some stuff and so forth. For all of your network, obviously leverage things. Channel. Does anybody else have anything else?
I was going to say one thing to Wayne. One thing we're expecting is that each of you is going to become a hub. It's not about how, because first class is that it's an intranet. We have that as well at our board. And these guys can't access it. You can. You're the one who can put stuff on, put a link on, and say, here's where you go to get this more information. We can't actually get to it because it's not on the internet. Okay, so each of you is a hub to disseminate more information. That's how we're building the momentum for this thing. And that's why we're trying to develop new labs, is give you something so that you can go out and say more than just, wow, the food was great. here's a fantastic lab that you've got to try. And that's why we also gave you the baggie with LEDs. Nobody has an excuse. You got the equipment, you got the instructions.
Right.
Just got to buy a battery.
As far as the outreach, I think the internet is one of the key ones, the website. And I think maybe one of your goals could be the hub for teaching. Or like if you poured a lot of resources into it, like, and really tried to build it, and then people start to be like, oh, that's the hub, that's the place to go.
Right.
But it would probably take a whole team of people.
Well, but it's. I mean, the whole question of prioritization and stuff with the website. So it's certainly something we're thinking about. It's of course, there are all sorts of things we were looking at for the website. There's all of this component, but then there's also the interaction with the scientific community and locally, nationally, internationally, the streaming, whether you want to put your lectures online or exactly how you do that. But it's obviously the premier communications channel for us throughout all of our different studios. So let's go up there, there and then down here.
As far as outreach, has the Institute considered reaching the students in form in terms of, say, having some of your scientists visit schools or hosting a science contest or maybe like Ask a Scientist website where they can students can actually communicate with someone?
So
researchers here.
So the answer is we've considered all of that and we've done some of that. Not as much as we are planning on doing in the future. So more specifically, we have an in-school program where Damien goes into the schools, and sometimes we have one of our resident scientists who also have done that in the past. And we're looking forward to the day when we can have that as a more easily accessible, tangible option for members of our research staff. And for members of the research staff, I'm in this situation where I'm a bit constrained because, well, we recognize that it's very valuable, the process of having a frontline researcher going in and talking to the kids. I'm also very keen to protect their time as much as possible. So my job is to set up a system where we can say, look, if you're interested in doing this, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it with an overwhelming amount of effort necessary. You don't necessarily even have to. You can talk about physics, you can talk about yourself, you can talk about all sorts of different things. And we have to structure that so there's no administrative overhead, there's no concern for the researchers. If they want to do that, they can just plug and play and go. We're working on that. We have sponsored some science contests in the past, and we're thinking about how best to come up with things to do that in the future, whether to hold our own or whether one doesn't want to duplicate. There are branding issues. There's how you make a decision. I mean, everybody and their brother wants you to sponsor or co-sponsor or co-host a competition, and the question is, how do you do it in the best possible way? And if you associate your name with it, how do you make sure that it's best not only in terms of quality, but it's best in terms of reaching the kids you want to reach? There was a third thing. Oh yeah, the website, the interactive website, and ask the researcher. That's one of these ideas that we've certainly been kicking around as part of the question that was raised earlier about how to develop the best possible website. It's also part of how to safeguard one's time. To some extent, it depends on what you mean by a researcher. I'm not trying to sound Clinton-esque, so it depends on what is. Damian not only has a PhD in physics, he was doing postdoctoral research in information theory. If Damian had come here 2 years ago, he might have come here in a different context than he came here last year. You're kind of splitting hairs when you're saying that. Now, maybe 20 years from now, it'll be different, maybe not. You know? So the idea is that not only will we have Damian, but we're going to be expanding with other people also at PhD level, so we'll be able to be involved in this. And hopefully, if they're not actively doing research, they'll certainly be completely aware of the research community, and they'll be aware of the current trends in research and be able to answer these sorts of questions. The reason I'm mentioning this is, of course, once you put in a feature like that on your website, who's going to be doing the work, right? Doing this. And again, I don't want to be in a position of saying, you start a researcher that we're paying a fortune for, and we've tried to entice you, or we've succeeded to entice you from Stanford or wherever to a lot of research. Now, spend your days, your mornings answering emails from people in the qual. Maybe some of them would like that. But that's something that I'm sensitive to. Yes, just before you, there's somebody right behind you.
Yes, as the resident dinosaur here, as wonderful as websites are, nothing replaces this personal contact that we've had over the last few days.
Wow.
And it's been absolutely exhilarating to have 40-odd people from different backgrounds, different ages, different abilities, generate this incredible physics enthusiasm. 90% of the conversation has been about physics, no matter what the setting was. And nothing can replace that. And this is what gives us teachers enthusiasm to go back to our classrooms and to do a better job. So I think this is great. That's all.
Thank you. And that's important because, again, it comes to a sense of, at some level, allocation of resources, both not only financial resources, but also time, coherence, staff. And you don't want to be running around. We can all think about 200 things to do. Part of that is a sad indictment of the fact that not enough is being done at so many different levels. But one wants to do something in the most coherent way possible. And my experience, is a far more experience, but my anecdotal experience is that most of the teachers who have participated in these programs have found them very beneficial. And so you wouldn't want to say, well, cut that out and just add that to the website. You wouldn't want to do the same thing with our student program, ISSLP. And you didn't want to do that with physical fantastic, but you didn't want to do that. So the question is, what is the right balance, and how do we do that, and how do we scale? And an important set of data for us is exactly what I'm getting from you guys, the world.
I was just going to say, with the website, we've heard a couple of good ideas. Ask physicists, but I think probably Damian could probably answer most of the questions that students or teachers are going to have, because I don't know that we're getting to really extremely difficult questions on a day-to-day basis. Something like frequently asked questions, or it's sort of been started with the six most difficult questions that students ask that's posted on there. And that was a great, I went through each of those, and I just loved seeing the experimental evidence for things like speed light constancy and stuff like that. If we had some more just in some of the other areas of physics, So there are frequently asked questions.
Right.
And then in addition, you know, either mirroring or links that, that teachers have found, you know, useful. The Colorado website with the simulations and different, I mean, there's so much physics already on the internet, but just to have some sort of filter of what seems to be pretty good for classroom use, and simulations, Java applets, and, or just reads that, that students can use and teach, you know, maybe something for students, something for teachers.
So one thing, just just to respond to that and to pick up on Dave's point before, just like our goal is also to be having people as nodes, points of dissemination, and part of the overall army to spread enlightenment throughout the world. We also, I think, could benefit from, and then this point is that was committed, but it should be emphasized, from feedback back in our direction. So when we look at you as part of people who are now associated with the Institute because you've gone through this process, and you know people here, and you can say, well, here, Damien, here's a list of some other frequently asked questions that I've encountered, and here are some other things that I would suggest, or here are some applets that I've seen, and we would recommend that you add this to the website and so forth, so that we can have a much better system of being able to get all that relevant information so that we can assist it, our process of building it coherently. Because sometimes it's hard to know. Even if you have great ideas, it's hard to know what's out there. You only have a certain number of hours in the day. And so the more information that we can have coming back to us, the more suggestions and the more concrete things that we can have from you guys and that will assist us very strongly in being able to incorporate it. So there's a question back up there, the merchant.
The idea about asking questions is a fantastic thing. I like that. The part thing that I think that would be a little bit easier is that having everybody together here, I mean, there's some people that I feel comfortable just, you know, emailing, saying, hey, Dave, give me an answer on this thing. You know,
right.
So instead of actually coming directly back to your institution, you know, just people who are here.
Right.
I mean, in my district, there's, you know, the handfuls, you know, that work kind of independently, and you can ask them, but if they don't know, where else do you go?
Right.
You know, and so having people here and having emails and contacts, that makes it easier. However, after saying that, there's still going to be some questions of this, you know, this is the why questions. You know, and sometimes you can go through a whole pile of people and you're still not going to find an answer to that. So I would really like to link, you know, to somebody here, whether it's Damien or somebody, to say, you know what, here's a question that I just can't get a good answer for. Nothing that, you know, that I can kind of put my head around. You know what I mean? Somebody just answer those things, because those are the ones that keep coming up every once in a while. And without getting those kind of contacts together, you know, it's hard to portray that information on the students. The other point that I just want to make is that I wish you could be here longer. I know it's a money thing, but I like having the fact that, you know, you have a quantum gravity guy coming to talk about cosmology. I mean, you know, having so many different fields here and having, you know, people give that information to us helps us to go back to our students and say, hey, you know what, you think physics is just this and this. What about all these things,
right?
And that's something that I don't think that I do enough, and probably most people don't do enough. They just say, this is all the realm which is out there. You know, and by giving us a little piece of it to take back and say, you know, if you're interested in this, what do you think about this? You know, that's a big part, because that's where you get the curiosity coming from. You know, people say, I have no idea that even existed. So here you are. So.
Right, and that's something that really resonates very strongly with me. I've said this many times before, but one of the frustrations that I have when I talk to people at the high school level, and students, of course, is that there's this overwhelming ignorance. There's this overwhelming sense that everything has been discovered, it's up there, all the answers are in the back of the book, all this type of stuff, right? And there's no awareness of the mysteries that remain unsolved. There's no awareness of the depth and the complexity and the sophistication and the fact that there are professional people earning a living, banging their head against the wall, trying to understand some things. Or that, notwithstanding, you know, the whole, even things like the weirdness of the quantum world, that even though we've got, gosh, not only lasers and semiconductors, we've got scanning, tunneling, electron microscopes, we've got all this stuff, we still don't know what the hell a wave function is, you know, that's stuff that doesn't get conveyed, the spirit of that doesn't get conveyed to the kids, and it's frustrating, because you see that rippling all the way through society, right? You see it then at the, my gosh, the people making decisions on funding, the political levels, and see. I see it from the other side because of other aspects of our outreach program. We have these programs for the general public. We have public lectures and this sort of thing. And I'm just constantly encountering people who are intelligent, thoughtful, educated people, often very erudite people. Maybe they're professionals, maybe they're academics, and they're kind of interested in saying, you know, I had no idea that this was the way the state of our knowledge was. I didn't know these interesting questions for me, and I didn't understand any of that stuff. I didn't know that, not understand even where our current knowledge is, just understand that there are these sorts of issues that remain, and that there are so many mysteries. And that's a real challenge for us to try to communicate that idea, not only through the teachers, but directly to the students and through other disciplinary materials. To the world at large, that's a constant battle, and it's not clear if we're winning or losing, but we're still fighting.
I was going to say, we were really lucky to actually have one of your Vancouver Institute people come talk to when I got two classes together, and they flew out to Vancouver, and they went to a bunch of schools. And he started talking at 2, and he was supposed to finish at 3, and he wound up talking till 5, because that's how late the kids stayed. But I thought that group of kids really benefited. I mean, they had these 3 hours of a just amazing discussion. But then it was done. And I can't repeat that because I didn't have the knowledge that the person had. And so all I could do is refer back to remember when wasn't that great. Whereas coming here gives me a lot more to take back, and all my kids will now benefit. And I really think that as much as it would be nice to have these guys come into our classroom, it's not a practical way of making, I think us being here is much more practical than them coming out to talk to us, in a sense, because like I said, it was great, but it didn't give me anything else other than
that. So just a comment that seems sorry to interrupt, but so that certainly makes a lot of sense. One of the things that I'm thinking about that we can do to again leverage our impact is we don't always have to fly Institute researchers are, often the Institute researchers are flying around anyway, you know, all over the place anyway, so maybe you can coordinate. But part of it is just building the networks. There are good people and interesting people who exist everywhere, right? There are good scientists, God knows, at UBC and Simon Fraser and whatever. There are good people in Winnipeg, there are good people in Halifax, there are good, I know these guys throughout the country. They're smart people, they're motivated people, they're knowledgeable people, senior, junior, and often they just don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the mechanism to be able to just go in, like I say, and plug and play. So not only should we be thinking about doing that, you know, in Waterloo Region or whatever it is, but we should be thinking about doing it much broader, using people who may not even be directly affiliated with the Institute, but who we know to be able to provide that structure. So all my hands are going up, but I
can I just reply?
Sure.
We tried other people coming in to talk to us, and the kids didn't really. You guys are trustable. You send someone, we're like, yeah. Other people send people, we're like, okay.
How are these other people being sent? Like, what's the mechanism?
We have a woman in our school who coordinates with the universities, and so the university will say, we'd like to send someone to talk to you, blah, 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 and it never goes that way. I don't know why.
You have Bill Unger come on and talk to him, Steve?
Bill's awesome.
Yeah, well, you might scare some of them, you know. We'll jump off a cliff or something, but I mean, the rest will.
Okay, maybe we just have our class or something.
Yeah, or we can try to act as a bit of a filter. Again, I'm just trying to think about scaling things, right? And not doing everything, not even comfortably doing ourselves. I'm not talking.
Yeah, this is a bit of a digression from what we've been talking about, but I think very relevant. Perhaps maybe like a workshop in the course of the week that would, I mean, one of the expectations of the program is that we're going to become part of the process. So just in terms of, so for me, when I go back home to my province, one of the things I would like to do is to have a forum for the peers, which is going to end up being one of the conferences where I'll probably end up, you know, being one of the presenters at on Insulars. But in terms of this, maybe if that expectation was a little bit more for you guys, and such that you do a workshop on, here's how we would like you to represent us
You see what I'm saying? So basically, you know, everyone's going all over the place, but in terms of, I mean, that's all fine for us, our students, but in terms of your outreach, then you have us saying to other teachers, here are the resources that, that this place gave us, here's the links that, you know, and here's the links to the scientists, and here's...
In a way, Mark, that's what the LED lab in this afternoon, we're going to be doing space-time diagrams.
Yeah.
We're focusing on those two ideas this year. To say, these are the two we want to focus on. These are the ones we want you developing and perhaps workshopping and running with. We tried different things in the past. We tried too much one year, and there's way too much to do. So we thought we'd focus down on a few specific topics like that lab.
I think the point is well taken that we should be emphasizing that maybe a little bit more. Exactly what you said. So you know, this is what we have in mind. This is why we're doing this. This is what our expectations are in terms of what happens 2 months from now. And maybe even in the perfect world, some kind of a follow up after 6 months. Well, how did this work? Did it work? What were the problems? You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Two comments. First, I was going to ask about if you already have on your website a place for us to put in comments and feedback. And after searching a little bit, I did find it eventually, but it's not, I don't know if it's terribly easy to find or if your website couldn't be designed as, you know, having a teacher note, click here and something just a little bit more quickly accessible there.
Yeah.
The other thing is having experiences from this perspective last year. One thing I'd like to see, or one thing I was a little bit disappointed with last year was after the conference was over, you know, whatever 60 people last year or whatever it was, went away, all fired up. But those fires weren't rekindled, the networking didn't continue with that group as much as we all wanted it to. 6 months later, I wasn't having contact with anyone remaining from the summer event. Maybe whether we set up a blog or I think it would be great if there was a central node that we could continue to meet, you know, from our perspective, right, is that we continue to keep this fire restocked, you know. I think a little bit more opportunity for us to follow up with each other. It doesn't necessarily have to be your work to keep, you know, fanning the flames, but just a more of a venue for us to continue the network and continue to resource and work.
We have an electronic mailing list that everyone from last week is on and everyone from this week will be putting on too as the start of helping everyone keep in touch.
Okay, good.
So that's very important.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, coming here has fired me up in physics and I'm always looking for new ways to teach, to get across the concepts, try to get rid of the math, that sort of stuff. And when I go back, I'll liaison with the other physics teachers within my board, the other science teachers in my area and stuff, but trying to get them fired up, that sort of stuff. But to bring it down to the student level, to get them fired up about the whole concept of physics and what's out there, what's left to be discovered, what are some of those unknown questions. And I know some, like Canada's a big place. There's a lot of places that we can never, ever get the scientists to or the research people. If there's a DVD that we could use,
yeah.
And we could, like, the lady here ahead of me was saying, like, it was great when the guy came in and talked about it, and then she said, remember when. If we had that, if we had Damien or some of the other people talking about down at a level that the high school students just, and you don't even have to fire up all of them, but if you can get some of them.
And so, yes, again, I'm not normally disagreeable.
Yeah.
But in fact, this is something that, so to be speaking Canada, I mean, we've been, so the idea of having a DVD is something that I've been, I would say, almost obsessed with for a while now. The reason we don't have one right now, today, is just because of some of the reasons I made. Same before, which is when you do it, you want to do it at the highest possible level.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas that we have are very forthright. So, interested in building not only one, but in fact a series of DVDs on quantum theory, all the way from foundations of quantum theory to eventual applications and quantum computing and quantum cryptography and so forth. Because I think it's the whole. First of all, it hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole package, and we can also. It's an area of expertise in the broadest sense of this institute. So you can bring people who are affiliated with the institute or who aren't. We know people like Anton Zeilinger, people like Roger Penrose, and all these people to be talking about their concerns with foundational issues in quantum theory. You can have your pedagogy being explained. You can do your animation and your Atlas and your, all the rest of this. Your Ray LaFlamme talking about his NMR and what he's doing, you know, addressing issues of decoherence and so forth. And do it in a way which isn't mathematically overwhelming. Do it in a way which is conceptual. Do it in a way which... My original idea was, when I was... So I'm dating myself. But when I was growing up, every so often, a teacher would throw something in high school, and it would be something that was usually about 25 years before I was, you know, a lot born. Mm-hmm. And so it would be this guy and this whole lab coat and the whole thing. And it was definitely boring and not terribly interesting. So the idea would be exactly this. Let's do something with an accompanying teacher's manual that would talk about concrete problems, so that it wasn't just, oh, that's interesting, and then the DVD goes away, so we could build on that, that we could do it in a way which could incorporate aspects of the curriculum, so it wouldn't be completely outside of it, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, so that's the idea, and it's great for not only addressing the real pedagogical and conceptual needs, it's great for branding the institute, it's great for going forward, and it's something, physics being physics, that you can also do internationally, and you can even sell it internationally, right? The problem is that to do that, at least the problem so far, to do that at the best possible level, it just takes time and resources and, you know, money and all that other kind of stuff. And so we're along the road, but we're just not as far along as I would like to be. But that's certainly a real priority.
But could we not just start small? Just something to
get... A lot of the public lectures are already streaming from their website. That's one way that if you want to start small, even I would recommend those more for the teachers if you want to be able to inspire some of the other teachers around you. Send them to the Perimeter website, the public lectures, you can stream them. You can get to good. I wouldn't necessarily take those straight into a classroom.
No.
Some of them would transfer. Well, I take my students to their public lectures regularly, but it's hard watching. But for other teachers to say, look, this is a really good one. Take a look at this.
Some of the really good ones would work now. But like you say, not the majority. So you've had your hand up for a while, sorry, and then I'll come back up to you.
I guess a really quick one. If you've seen them and you've been there, can you give us a list of the ones that would work well?
Sure, I'll see what's
you know,
yeah, I'll throw it on the resource.
Otherwise, you have to watch hours and hours of
not Edward. I'll say that right now, not Edward.
Right. And the other, my other comment, which was one of my hands up earlier, was, I mean, we talked about it a little bit with the provincial conference day. Last provincial conference was our big one because we were 40 years old, the Association of Science Teachers. It was the year of physics, and I was thankful I was presenting the whole morning because I couldn't find a good workshop to go to. For physics. And so if you went, you're...
It's hard for these guys to know, though. You need to contact Damien and say, Damien, this is when our conference is.
Okay.
Get there. Or help us find somebody local. If you can't get there, do you know somebody at Dalhousie or somebody who could do a good presentation for us?
Because it's been rough.
Yeah. One thing I just thought, we'll go over right here. Just getting back to that whole point about the website, there are also... Something you may not be aware of, you mentioned the International Year of Physics. So we ran a festival here called the Einstein Fest. Not perhaps the most rich, but anyway. In honor of the centenary of Einstein's Miracle Year and the International Year of Physics and all the rest of that, where we had a plethora of lectures and presentations by physicists about how Einstein's work has affected them today, by scientists and historians and physicists, about what Einstein really did and the impact that it had and what it really meant, by people who talked about Einstein the man and what he was like as an individual. We expanded the theme, as it happened, specifically further to be looking at 1905 and what was going on, from everything from Freud and psychoanalysis to the birth of jazz to Matisse and so forth. So the point that I'm making is that all of that is also online. and you can still access, you can access those lectures today through the website. Now, there are issues, as has been pointed out here and before, that the website isn't maybe maximally efficient to be able to draw you to those particular things, but now that you're all in the room, I might just mention that to you, that you might want to peruse that and just get a sense of that, because you can. Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you, not only for hosting this conference, but also for sending the Einstein Fest speaker to Winnipeg, because that's the first time I've heard about
it. Oh, hello, Wendy, when you're ready.
And that was great, so thank you for doing that, and thank you for the whole week here.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you very much.
My hat to Damien, but also all the facilitators here. I know they've been working really hard. This is their second. This is their second in workshop back to back, and the enthusiasm and dedication they bring is really awesome. So I would like to. Anybody else? Yeah.
The one thing that I have gotten the most out of is the application of the modern physics. That's the part that, because you know, you talk about the theory of it and they go, well, what do you use it for? And you know, I would say quantum computer before, I wouldn't have a clue what on earth it meant. At least now I can go back and say, well, what do we need this for? What do we do with the duality? What's its importance? And I can actually give them a little bit of background. Because there's a lot of times you can actually read this stuff like an article and you go, what on earth are they talking about? We actually go see it and you actually talk to the instructor, ground instructor, talk to the research or whatever, you actually get some really good feedback. But like for the cosmologist guy yesterday, I've got a strong astronomy background, so I just, that was fabulous. And I can actually entail that. And it would only be maybe a 10-minute discussion in class about where it's being done, but that's the part that the kids really like, is the fact is, oh, it's kind of neat. And then you get the odd student who will say, oh, it's kind of neat, he'll come in and talk to you. And then you can actually sort of answer some of the questions, actually point them in the direction, say, look, they got some really good stuff on the Einstein Fest. Because there's only really, I think, legitimately, you'd only get maybe two kids in the class that really get the most out of modern physics, that want to go into that depth, that you can sort of point them in the right direction, because you know they're going to be a whole lot smarter than we're ever going to be. And it's just remarkable just to see that the resources are there to actually go and look themselves. Because I started looking at the site, I guess, 2 years ago when I had one, and you've got so many more lectures that are there. But it makes it so much easier to see.
So let me ask you all a question. So this is, I guess, personally. So I was a bit of a slacker when I was in school. And one of the things that we all come from our own experience, and our own proclivities related to that, I guess, but quite a few of the programs that we have are for people who are each pretty keen. ISSYP is something that, so this is the summer student program that we have, it's international. You have to really be interested in physics and modern physics, and it's never stated what modern physics is. I'm waiting for time when people start. Stop calling what happened in the 1920s modern physics. people who are interested in advanced concepts of theoretical physics, they're pretty self-motivated kids. They're obviously clever, they're self-motivated, and all the rest of that. But I think there are also quite a few people who may be smart, but they're distracted. They're either interested in the girl beside them, or the boy beside them, or they're interested in these other things, or they're kind of brainwashed into this. Well, don't go into that because you won't make any money doing that, and this kind of thing. And how do you, or they're just, you know, they're rebelling against everything because they're that age and they're rebelling against everything. So I mean, an ongoing question for me. I have no idea even how to begin, but how do you try to get at that whole segment of people who are bright, people who are interested and creative in another way, but or maybe they're sold this, in my view, false bill of goods that, you know, you're left brain, right brain crap, or you're only good at this, and so therefore you shouldn't be interested in that. How do you how do you captivate the attention of people? Or what can this institute do, a more concrete question, to try to get a spark for people who, it's not even that, that the idea of physics would drive them to tears, just that they're just indifferent. There's nothing about it, you know, they're just disengaged. Is there anything that you think that we might be able to do to do that?
I think that, I don't know what the expression institution was, but I think success breeds everything. I mean, if you throw things out there which you say, you know what, these are difficult, people are working really hard at this stuff, and they even pick up the little pieces of it, they say, well, what's so hard about this, because I get this part, and you just keep leading them along the line. I think that the ones that, you know, that kind of don't really want to do well, if they get a chance to actually to see the stuff and to, you know, get some comprehension behind it, it's normal. If you find people who just hate everything that's going on, if they have some success, they don't mind it as much. They just kind of read that kind of field all the way along.
Right. Okay.
I think we're on our way to it now with it, but it wouldn't hurt to go a lot further. The idea that most textbooks tend to make the high school level physics, it seems dead. It's all done past. And this new idea now that, you know, most a lot of curriculum are starting to put in modern physics. Or if not them, at least we're doing it ourselves. I mean, I think that's the point right there. You're starting to show them the fact that there's still a lot of stuff going on. Just sitting down in a room, solving problems all day that somebody did 400 years ago. That, right? There's lots of places still to go with this.
Yeah, that's a problem, I guess. I mean, I think there are some meta-level issues. So I think a projectile motion, right? That was plenty of time you sit there trying to figure out where projectiles were planned. And so there is something at the meta level that, hey, this is a wonderful aspect of nature that you can reduce things to a law-like regularity and that it only follows from a few basic principles and so forth. But most of the time, that's not really conveyed, either because the teachers aren't sufficiently knowledgeable or passionate or because it's too abstract and obtuse and the kids don't really resonate with it. So you're left with this idea of, here are these rules to calculate where your stick is going to fall if you throw it up. I mean, who could imagine something less interesting than that to be actually thinking about it? I mean, for anybody, let alone if you're, you know, 17 and riddled with hormones.
I was going to say a little bit of maybe biography of some of the researchers here. I mean, just in my travels, I'm looking at them when they're young, but they're unconventional looking for researchers, I think. I mean, like they're just unusual.
They don't break the stereotype.
Yeah, they break the stereotype, and people from all different places around the world, choosing to come here to work with each other. You know, like it's you look on the surface and you really have no idea what's underneath. And I think that is maybe we'll get at that rebel segment.
I think even a promotional video, I like your idea of video series when you were talking about that. It's like, yeah, do something like that once, quality, and then we live on forever. But even a promotional video of, you know, what are some of these exciting rounds, like a, you know, 3-minute, you know, introduction to, you know, an interesting idea, you know, discrete space and time, and a 3-minute introduction to, you know, you know, different ideas that are being covered here, as well as a bit of that exposure to, you know, the type of neat places would be to end up as a job. I think if you could expose more high school students to just even a snapshot of some of the really awesome stuff that happens here, they would suddenly go from being asleep in class every day going, I don't care about the hockey stick my head, so all of a sudden go like, hey, I could be young and happening, making big money, doing, you know, answering questions about the fundamental nature of characters.
If you
do a promotional video, not just for perimeter, but for physics, and include some, you know, break that stereotype and just spark, just catch stuff that would have a lot of different hooks, and that'll hook a lot of different students on a lot of different levels. And then when we recognize, hey, that student has been sitting there asleep and we've been wondering how to motivate them, all of a sudden they saw something, they're excited about it, they come out of the woodwork there. Sometimes it's very hard to draw that student out of the woodwork, right. And you can only do so much. If they won't come, they won't come. But when you see it, the moment when you catch them, you see it. And if you, in that moment, respond to it, then you change everything.
Would you guys have the video, the promotional video that comes from Perimeter? Mm-hmm. IQC gave you one as well.
Yeah.
It's very similar. That's kind of like what I'm hearing is very much that sort of thing.
It could also be more, I mean, so that's it. But it's also, I think what you're saying is less of the isn't perimeters to be great, more of the look at all the cool things in physics.
And all the cool opportunities.
I mean, they're not mutually exclusive.
But it's that sort of format. It's that format, right? Am I hearing you right? You want something like that sort of format that's kind of quick, punchy, and...
Because I don't want to take 28 classes to show it, or show it at half a month.
Okay, I've almost used my time. I just want to say a couple more things. Sorry to cut you off, but I... Jamie's good. He's a bigger house. So I just wanted to say that it's very, and I said this to the other group and groups before, it's very nice to see that people feel welcome and feel appreciated when they have a good time here, not only because the food is good, because the education is good, because the stimulation is good, because the opportunity to learn things, to interact with peers, to be in a supportive atmosphere is good. And I'm delighted to be in a position where we can continue to positively affect things. That being said, there's a long way to go. This is all part of trying to make society a little bit more appreciative of the work that you guys do every day. And I'm very appreciative of that. And I know that people in this building are very appreciative of that. I mean, the fact of the matter is it's difficult to track down people to give keynotes or to interact, or for that matter, to interact as mentors with the students when they come, just because they're traveling and they're busy and so forth. But by and large, the enthusiasm for participating in these sorts of events is actually extremely high. So in your darkest hours, when you're lying up at night at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering if anybody cares, people here care. People in this place care. So thanks. Okay.
So now the afternoon session, we kind of switch gears a bit